in need. I gave them food when they were hungry and clothes when they had none. And whenever I saw the dead body of an Israelite tossed outside Nineveh's city wall, I always buried the body. King Sennacherib had invaded Judah and insulted God, the King of Heaven. So God punished him and his army, forcing him to run for his life. Sennacherib was angry, and he killed many Israelites when he got back to Assyria. But I secretly took the bodies away and buried them, and when Sennacherib looked for them, they were gone. Someone in Nineveh went to the king and told him that I had secretly buried the bodies. And when I found out that the king knew what I had done and wanted me hunted down and killed, I was afraid and ran away. Then the king seized everything I owned. All I had left were my wife, Anna, and my son, Tobias. About 40 days later, Sennacherib was murdered by two of his sons. They ran away to the Ararat Mountains, and Sennacherib's other son, Esarhaddon, became king. Esarhaddon appointed Ahikar, the son of my brother Hanael, to be in charge of both the royal accounting department and the treasury. My nephew Ahikar had been in charge of the accounting department and the treasury under Sennacherib, and he had also been responsible for Sennacherib's official ring and his wine. Ahikar talked Esarhaddon into letting me come back to Nineveh. Tobit becomes blind. Chapter 2. I returned to my home while Esarhaddon was king, and my wife Anna and my son Tobias were allowed to come back to me. That year at the harvest festival, which is also called the Festival of Weeks, a wonderful dinner was prepared for me, and I sat down to eat. But so much food was put on the table that I said to Tobias, "Son, many other Israelites were brought to Nineveh as captives. Go out and find someone who is poor and very loyal to God. Bring him here to share this meal with us. We will wait until you get back." Tobias went out to look for some Israelites who were poor, but he returned alone and said, "Father, what's the matter?" I asked. "An Israelite has been murdered," Tobias answered. "He was strangled, then his body was thrown down and left lying in the street." We had not started eating, and so I jumped up from the table and went to the street where the body was. I brought it back to my own home and left it in one of the rooms, because I could not bury it until after dark. Then I washed myself and ate the festival meal, but I was very sad. I remembered that the prophet Amos had said, "Your festivals and joyful singing will turn into sorrow," and I began crying. Later, after the sun had set, I went out and dug a grave and buried the body. My neighbors made fun of me and said to each other, "Tobit had to go into hiding once when the king tried to have him arrested and put to death for burying people like this one. You would think Tobit would be afraid to do the same thing again." That night, after I washed, I went into my courtyard and lay down next to the wall. The night was so hot that I wanted to sleep under the open sky. I didn't know that some sparrows were perched on the wall above me. Their fresh droppings fell right into my eyes, and a film of white spots started covering the clear part of my eyes. I went to doctors and looked for a cure, but the more medicine they smeared on my eyes, the worse the white spots became, until at last I could not see a thing, and was completely blind for 4 years. All my relatives felt sorry for me, and for 2 of those years, Ahikar gave me money to live on. But then he had to move to Elimaeus. After Ahikar left Nineveh, my wife worked at home. She would weave a piece of cloth, and when it was finished, she would send it to the owners of the weaving business, and they would pay her. Then, on the 7th day of the month of Distress, my wife finished a piece of cloth and sent it to the owners. They gave her the regular payment, and they also gave her a young goat, so we could have a feast. When she came back, the goat was going, "Baa, baa." So I yelled at her and said, "Where did you get that goat? You must have stolen it. Take it back to its owner. We shouldn't eat something that is stolen. It just wouldn't be right." She replied, "That goat was given to me as a gift, along with the usual payment for my work." But I didn't believe her, and my face was red with anger as I told her to return the goat to its owners. She answered, "Tobit, why have you changed so much? You used to be so kind, and as everyone knows, you always did the right thing." Tobit prays. Chapter 3. My heart was filled with sorrow, and as I groaned and wept, I began praying. You, Lord, rule the world with honesty, justice, and mercy. Please be kind and forgive me, especially for those sins I didn't mean to commit. And don't make me suffer for the sins of my ancestors. They disobeyed your commands, and so you let us be robbed or killed or laughed at and insulted, while being led away as captives all over the world. We didn't obey your commands. We weren't faithful to you, and so you were right to punish me many times. Do whatever you want with me. Take away my life, send my body to the grave, and set me free from life on earth. I would rather die than to live in such suffering and great sorrow, listening to insults I don't deserve. Set me free. Take me away to my eternal place. But please, Lord, don't turn your back on me." A woman named Sarah. That same day, in the city of Ecbatana, in Media, a woman named Sarah, the daughter of Reguel, was being insulted by one of her father's servant women. Sarah had gone through 7 wedding ceremonies with 7 different husbands, but each time, before she and her new husband had gone to bed on their wedding night, he was killed by the demon Asmodeus. That's why the servant had told her, "You've already been married 7 times, and each of those times you have killed your husband before he could give you a son. So why do you strike at us because your husbands have died? Just go where they are. We hope you never have any children." Sarah's heart was heavy with sorrow, and she was crying as she went to an upstairs room in her father's house, where she planned to hang herself. But after thinking about it, she decided, "No, I won't kill myself. Everyone would talk about my father behind his back. They would tell each other how he had only one child, and that he loved her very much, and yet she had so many troubles that she hanged herself. My father would never get over his sorrow if I committed suicide. But I can't stand to listen to these insults any longer, so I will ask the Lord to take my life." Sarah prays. Sarah stretched out her arms toward a window and prayed, "I praise you, Lord, for your mercy. I pray that all your creation will honor your name forever. Now, in prayer, I look to you and ask you to release me from this life and free me from these insults. You know I haven't disgraced my father's name or mine by committing the sin of sleeping with a man who wasn't my husband. I have married 7 men, but all of them died. I am an only child, living far from my homeland. There are no relatives here who could marry me, so we could have a child to carry on the family line. I have no reason to live, Lord, but if you won't take my life, at least stop people from insulting me." God hears the prayers of Tobit and Sarah. Tobit speaks. "Sarah and I were praying to God at exactly the same time. and he decided to send the angel Raphael to heal both of us. God told Raphael to get rid of the white covering from my eyes so I could see again. And he told Raphael to free Sarah from the demon Asmodeus and arrange for her to marry Tobias, my son. And, of course, Tobias had the right to marry her, since he was Sarah's closest relative. As I was leaving my courtyard and going back inside my house, Sarah was coming down from the upstairs room. Tobit gives instructions to Tobias. Chapter 4. Later that day, I remembered the silver coins I had left with Gabael in the town of Rages in Media. I said to myself, since I have prayed that I will die soon, I had better call in my son Tobias and explain to him about the silver coins. So I called for Tobias and said, "My son, when I die, make sure that I have a proper burial. Always respect your mother and do whatever she asks. Don't ever neglect her or cause her any sorrow. Remember, she risked her life to give birth to you, and when she dies, bury her next to me. Honor the Lord and follow his teachings as long as you live. Always do what is right and refuse to do wrong. People who are honest are always successful, and if people do what is right but are poor, give them some money to help them out. And be cheerful when you give, because if you help others with their needs, God will help you with yours. If you are rich, give generously to the poor. On the other hand, if you don't have much money, don't be afraid to give them at least a little. If you help the poor, then later, when you are in need, others will help you. Giving to the poor will keep you from going down into the dark world of the dead. Helping the poor is one of the best offerings you can give to God Most High. My son, don't sleep with any woman except your wife, and don't marry a foreigner. Some of our ancestors were prophets, so keep our family line pure and choose a woman from our own tribe. Remember that our ancestors Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all married their own relatives. God blessed their families with children and gave the land of Israel to their descendants. Have love in your heart for the people of your own nation. Don't be proud and think you are too good to marry an Israelite woman. Pride like that will confuse and destroy you, just as laziness will make you poor and starving. Don't ever fail to pay your hired workers at the end of the day. Serve God, and you will be rewarded. Have self-control in everything you do. Don't treat others in ways that you would not want to be treated. Don't be a heavy drinker or ever get drunk. Provide food and clothes for the poor. Give your extra money to those in need, and do it cheerfully. Honor the memory of good people, but not of the wicked. Show respect for the wise, and never reject good advice. Always praise the Lord God and pray for his guidance, so you will be successful in whatever you do. No other nations have understanding, but the Lord can either make them wise or bring them to ruin. My son, be sure to keep in mind everything I have told you to do. Now I need to tell you that I once left 120,000 silver coins for safekeeping with Gabael, son of Gabrius, who lives in the town of Rages, in Media. We have become poor, but don't be afraid. You will be rich if you show the proper respect for the Lord our God. So obey him and run from sin. Chapter 5. Tobias replied, "Father, I will do everything you have told me, but how can I possibly get the money? I don't know Gabael, and he doesn't know me. What can I do to prove I am your son, so he will let me have the money? And I don't even know the way to Media." I answered, 20 years ago, Gabriel and I signed an agreement that we cut in half. I kept one half and left the other with the coins. Find someone you can trust, and we will hire him to travel there and back with you. But be sure to get that money. Tobias left to look for someone who knew the way and would go there with him. Suddenly, God's angel Raphael was standing in front of him, but Tobias did not know he was an angel. Tobias asked, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am an Israelite, just like you, and I have come here looking for work." Tobias asked, "Do you know the way to the country of Media?" "Of course," he replied. "I've been there many times, and I know all the roads. I always stay with our relative Gabael in Rages, which is in the mountains. It takes about 2 days to get there from Ecbatana in the valley." Tobias said, "I want to hire you to go to Media with me. Please wait here until I tell my father." "All right," he answered. "I'll wait, but don't take too long." When Tobias returned home, he said to me, "Father, I have found an Israelite, and he is one of our relatives." "Ask him to come here," I replied. "I want to know something about his family and tribe, so I can decide if he can be trusted to go with you to Rages." Tobias invited the young man to come in and meet me, and I immediately greeted him. The young man replied, "Sir, I hope all goes well for you." "How can anything go well for me?" I answered. "I am as blind as a dead man in the dark. In fact, I may as well be dead, because I hear people, but I can't see them." The young man told me, "Cheer up. God will soon heal you." Then I said, "My son Tobias wants to go to Media, and I will pay you if you can go along and show him the way." He replied, "Yes, I can. I've been there many times, and I know all the roads through the valleys and across the mountains." Then I said, "Tell me, my friend, what family and tribe are you from?" "Why do you want to know?" the young man asked. I answered, "I just want to know for certain who your father is and what your name is." The young man said, "My name is Azariah, and I am the son of Hananiah, a great man who was one of your relatives." I replied, "Then you are welcome here, my brother, and I pray that God will protect you. Please don't be upset with me. I had to find out for certain what family you are from. You really are one of our relatives, and you come from a good family. I knew Hananiah and his brother Nathan, the sons of Shemaliah. Hananiah was a great man. He and Nathan used to go to Jerusalem with me to worship, and they never worshipped other gods. Yes, you come from a very good family, and you are most welcome in our home. Now then, if you will go to Media with my son, I will pay you 1 silver coin for each day, as well as all your expenses and those of my son. Plus, I will give you a bonus." The young man answered, "Don't worry, I'll go, and when we return, we will be just as healthy as we are now, because the roads aren't dangerous." I replied, "I pray for God to bless you, my brother." Then I turned to my son and said, "Get whatever supplies you will need, then start on the journey with your friend. I pray that God in heaven will watch over you until you return, and that his angel will travel with the two of you and keep you safe." Before Tobias left, he kissed his mother and me goodbye. And I said, "Have a safe trip." But his mother started crying and said to me, "Tobit, why are you sending my son away like this? He is the only person we can depend on, and he is always here to help us. I don't care about the money. Forget it. Then our son won't have to risk his life. The Lord has blessed us with life, and that should be enough for us." I replied, "Don't be afraid, dear. You'll see. Our son Tobias will come home just as healthy as he is now. Stop worrying. A good angel will go along, and Tobias will come home safely and bring the money with him." So she stopped crying. Chapter 6. Tobias and his friend travel to Rages. Tobias and the angel left for Rages, with Tobias's dog following along. That night, they camped beside the Tigris River, and Tobias went down to wash his feet. Suddenly, a big fish jumped out of the water and tried to swallow one of his feet. Tobias let out a scream, but the angel said, "Quick, grab the fish." So Tobias grabbed it and dragged it up on the riverbank. The angel said, "Cut it open and take out its heart, liver, and gallbladder, because these can be used for medicine. But throw the rest of its insides away." Tobias obeyed the angel. Then he cooked and ate some of the fish and salted the rest to keep it from spoiling. And the next morning, the two of them again set out on their journey. When they were getting near Media, Tobias asked the angel, "Azariah, how can these parts from that fish be used as medicine?" The angel said, "If a demon is causing sickness or trouble for a man or a woman, take the heart and liver and burn them nearby. The smoke will stop the demon from bothering that person ever again. And if someone has white spots covering their eyes and cannot see, you can rub the gallbladder on their eyes and blow on the white spots, and that person will be able to see again." Raphael's instructions to Tobias. Tobias and Raphael had reached Media and were on their way to Ecbatana when Raphael said, "Tobias, listen to me." "I'm listening," Tobias answered. Then Raphael said, "Tonight we will stay in the home of your relative, Raguel. He has a daughter named Sarah, and she is his only child. You are her closest relative, and so you have the right to marry her and to inherit whatever her father leaves. He is a good man, and she is sensible, courageous, and very beautiful. Now listen carefully. Raguel knows that you have the right to marry his daughter, and that the law of Moses teaches that he must be put to death if he lets any other man marry her. So tonight, I will make the wedding arrangements with him, and you can take Sarah home as your bride when we return from Rages." Tobias answered, "I have heard that she has already been married 7 times. But each of the men died before going to bed with her. The rumor is that a demon killed them. It doesn't harm her. It just kills anyone who tries to marry her. I am an only child, and if I were killed by that demon, my parents would have great sorrow and be left with no one to bury them." Raphael then said, "Don't you remember that your father told you to marry someone from his side of the family? So agree to marry Sarah, because I know that tonight she can be your bride. You don't have to worry about the demon if you pay close attention to my instructions. Before you enter the bedroom with Sarah, put some of the liver and heart of the fish on the burning incense. It will give off such a bad odor that the demon will leave and never return. Then, before the two of you go to bed, you must stand up and pray that the Lord of heaven will be merciful and watch over you. Don't worry. Even before the time of creation, God had already chosen Sarah to be your wife. You will save her from disgrace, and she will return to your home with you. I promise that the two of you will have sons, and you will love them very much, so don't argue with me." As soon as Tobias learned that Sarah was related to him on his father's side of the family, he fell deeply in love with her. At the Home of Reguel. Chapter 7. When they entered the city of Ecbatana, Tobiah said, "Azariah, take me straight to Reguel's home." He did, and they found Reguel sitting beside the gate that led into his yard. They greeted him, and he answered, "I hope you are happy and healthy. Welcome to my home. Please come in." Reguel turned to his wife Edna and said, "Doesn't this young man remind you of my relative Tobit?" Edna asked Tobias and Raphael, "So, our new friends, where do you come from?" They answered, "We are from the tribe of Naphtali, and we live in exile in Nineveh." "Do you know our relative Tobit?" Edna asked. "Yes, we do," they answered. "Is he well?" she asked. "He is alive and well," they replied. Then Tobias added, "And he is my father." Reguel jumped up and kissed Tobias and started weeping. Reguel said, "I pray that God will bless you. Your father Tobit is a generous and honest man. It's a terrible shame that someone so good has become blind." Then Reguel hugged Tobias and cried some more. Reguel's wife, Edna, and his daughter, Sarah, were also crying for Tobit. Then Reguel killed one of his sheep so its meat could be prepared for dinner, and he made Tobias and Raphael feel welcome in his home. After they had bathed and were eating dinner, Tobias whispered to Raphael, "Ask him to let me marry Sarah." Reguel overheard Tobias and said, "Eat and drink and have a good time. No one except you has the right to marry my daughter Sarah. You are my closest relative, and so I would not be allowed to let anyone else marry her. However, there are a few things I must tell you. I have already let Sarah marry 7 of my relatives, and each one of them died when he went into the bedroom to sleep with her. So now, Tobias, eat and drink, and the Lord will help you." But Tobias replied, "I won't eat or drink anything until you make this marriage official." "Then I will make it official right now," Reguel said. "Tobias, I give my daughter Sarah to you as your wife, according to the laws in the book of Moses. God himself wanted you to marry her, and from this moment you will forever be husband and wife. I pray that the Lord of heaven will bless the two of you tonight, and that he will be merciful and give you peace." Reguel sent for his daughter, and when she came, he took her by the hand and led her over to Tobias. Then he said, "Tobias, Sarah is now your wife in keeping with the laws and teachings of the book of Moses. Make sure that she arrives unharmed at your father's home, and I will pray that the God of heaven will keep you safe as you travel." Reguel asked his wife Edna to bring him something to write on, and he wrote out a contract stating that Sarah was married to Tobias according to the law of Moses. Then they all ate and drank. Afterwards, Reguel said, "Edna, please get the other bedroom ready and take Sarah there." So Edna made the bed and brought Sarah to the room. Edna wept for her daughter. Then she wiped away the tears and said, "Don't worry, Sarah. Cheer up, because the God of heaven will soon turn your sorrow into joy." Then Edna left. Tobias chases off the demon. Chapter 8. When everyone had finished eating and drinking, they decided it was time to go to bed, and they brought Tobias to the bedroom. Then Tobias remembered what Raphael had told him about the liver and the heart of the fish. So he took them out of the bag where he had kept them, and he put them on the burning incense. The terrible odor made the demon go all the way to Egypt, where Raphael captured him and immediately tied him up so tightly that he couldn't move. Tobias prays. After Sarah's parents had left and the bedroom door was shut, Tobias stood up and said, "Sarah, my darling, please get up. Let's pray that the Lord will be merciful and watch over us." So she got up, and they begged the Lord to keep them safe. Tobias began by praying, "God of our ancestors, we praise your name. All future generations will praise you as well. Heaven and the rest of creation should always praise you. You made Adam and said, 'It isn't good for the man to live alone.' So we will make a suitable partner for him, someone like himself. Then you gave him Eve, the perfect companion. And they were the source of the whole human race. I have married this relative of mine not because of lust, but because of love. Please be kind and bless us with a long life together." Tobias and Sarah both said, "Amen," and then went to sleep for the night. Reguel digs a grave for Tobias. Later that night, Reguel woke up his servants and took them outside where they dug a grave. He told them, "If Tobias dies and our neighbors find out, they will make fun of us and insult us." When they had finished digging the grave, Reguel went into the house. He woke up his wife and told her, "Send one of the young servant women into the room to see if Tobias is still alive. If he is dead, then we can bury him now and no one will know about it." Edna lit a lamp and gave it to a servant. Then she opened the door and sent her inside. Tobias and Sarah were both sound asleep. The servant came back out and told Reguel and Edna that Tobias was still alive and that nothing bad had happened to him. They praised the God of heaven, and Reguel said, "Our God, you are worthy to be praised for all time with words that come from hearts that are pure. I offer my praise because you have given me happiness. I expected a tragedy, but it did not happen. You had mercy on us and on Sarah and Tobias, the only children of their parents. Be merciful to these young people, keep them safe and bless them with happiness." Then Reguel told his servants to fill in the grave before sunrise. The Wedding Celebration. Reguel went to his wife and told her to bake a lot of bread. Then he went out to his herd of livestock and brought back 2 bulls and 4 rams, and he gave orders for his servants to slaughter them. And so everyone began preparing for a big celebration. Reguel called in Tobias and told him, "Please stay here at least 2 weeks. You can eat and drink with me, and you can cheer up my daughter, who has gone through some horrible suffering. When you leave, you can take half of everything I own and return safely to your father. Then, whenever my wife Edna and I die, you can have the other half as well. Don't worry about a thing, Tobias. From now on, you will be a son to us, and we will care for you as much as we do for our daughter Sarah, your wife." Chapter 9. Tobias went to Raphael and said, "Azariah, my friend, you know that my father has been counting the days it should take us to go to Rages and back, and if we are even 1 day late, he will be worried sick. You heard how Reguel has made a solemn promise that I must stay, and I don't want to make him break his promise. So take 4 servants and 2 camels and go to the town of Rages and find Gabael. Give him my father's half of the agreement, then get the silver coins and bring Gabael back with you to the wedding celebration." Raphael took 4 servants and 2 camels to the town of Rages in Media, where he stayed with Gabael. Raphael gave him the agreement and told him how Tobit's son Tobias had gotten married and had invited him to the wedding celebration. Gabael went and got the bags of silver coins and counted them as he gave them to Raphael. All the bags were there, and none of them had been opened. Raphael and Gabael loaded the bags onto the camels, and early the next morning the two men got up and went to the wedding celebration at Reguel's home in Ecbatana. Tobias was eating when they arrived, but he jumped up and greeted Gabael. Gabael started weeping and said, "You are honest and good, just like your father Tobit, and he was such a generous man. Now I pray that God will bless you from heaven, and also that he will bless your wife and her parents. I praise God, Tobias, because you are just like your father." Tobit and Anna are worried. Tobit speaks. Chapter 10. I knew how long it should take Tobias to travel to the town of Rages and back, and I counted each day. But when the time had gone by, I became so worried that at last I wondered out loud what could be keeping Tobias. Maybe Gabael is dead, and there is no one else to give him the money. Anna replied, "I'm sure it's my son who is dead." Then she started weeping and cried out, "I've never known such sorrow. My son made my eyes sparkle. Why did I ever let him go?" But I kept trying to encourage her by saying, "Now, my darling, don't cry. There's no need to worry. I'm sure Tobias is all right. After all, the man who went with him is a relative of ours, and he can be trusted. Something unexpected must have delayed them. Tobias will be home soon, so you don't need to worry or even talk about it any more." "You're the one who should stop talking," she answered. "Don't try to hide the truth from me. I know my son is dead." Each morning, Anna hurried out and started watching the road, hoping to see our son, and no one could change her mind. Then, at sunset, she would come back inside and weep bitterly all night long, without getting a wink of sleep. Tobias and Sarah start home. Reguel had promised his daughter a wedding celebration of 14 days, and at the end of those 2 weeks, Tobias went to him and said, "Soon after I arrived here, I told you my father was in bad health. I am sure that by now both he and my mother must think I am dead, and that they will never see me again. So please, let me return home." But Reguel replied, "Stay with us, my son, and I will send someone to tell your father the news about you." "Sir, I beg you," Tobias answered, "please let me return home." So Reguel immediately agreed to let Tobias leave with Sarah, and he gave Tobias half of everything he owned, including his slaves, his oxen and sheep, his donkeys and camels, and his clothing, money, and household things. Then, before sending the two of them away with his blessing, he hugged Tobias and said, "Goodbye, my son. I hope you don't have any trouble along the way. And I now ask the Lord to make you and your wife successful and to bless you with children. I pray that I will see them before I die." After this, Reguel kissed Sarah and said, "My daughter, you must now go to live with your father-in-law and mother-in-law, because they are now as much your parents as your mother and I. You go with my blessing, but make sure that I always hear good things about you. Goodbye, my dear." Then Reguel's wife Edna said, "Tobias, my son, I pray that the Lord will let you and Sarah return here before I die, so I may see my grandchildren. And with God as my witness, I place my daughter Sarah in your care. Please, don't ever cause her any sorrow. My son, I am your mother, and Sarah is your dear wife. I pray that God will always bless our family. Now I wish you a safe journey." Then she kissed them both and said goodbye. As Tobias was leaving, he was so happy that he shouted, "I praise the Lord of heaven and earth, the King of all creation, who made my trip successful. Reguel and Edna, I will show you proper respect for as long as I live." Then he told them goodbye. Going Home. Chapter 11. When Tobias and the angel Raphael came near the town of Kasirin, not far from Nineveh, Raphael said, "Tobias, you know the condition your father was in when we left, so why don't you and I run on ahead of your wife Sarah and get things ready at the house?" Then, as the two of them ran along, followed by Tobias's dog, Raphael said, "Have the gallbladder of the fish ready." Meanwhile, Anna was sitting beside the road, just staring. When she saw Tobias coming, she called out to her husband, "Our son is coming down the road, and that man is with him." Tobit's eyes are healed. Before they got there, Raphael said to Tobias, "Your father's eyes will be healed. Just smear the gallbladder of the fish on his eyes, and the film-like stuff that is covering them will shrink and peel off. Then your father will be able to see again." Anna ran to Tobias and hugged him. Then she said, "Now that I have seen you, my son, I can die in peace." And she began crying. Tobit speaks. "I jumped up and went stumbling through the gate leading out to the road. Tobias hurried toward me, carrying the gallbladder. He breathed on my eyes and said, 'Don't worry.' He immediately steadied me and started rubbing the gallbladder on my eyes. Then, with both hands, he began at the corners of my eyes and peeled away the stuff that had made me blind. I hugged Tobias and started crying. Then I said, 'I can see you, my son. Now life is worth living again.' Then I continued, 'Praise God and his great name. Praise his holy angels. I pray for God to be with us. Praise his angels forever. He caused me great suffering, but now I see my son Tobias.' I kept on celebrating and praising God as loud as I could. After a while, Tobias told me how successful his travels had been. Not only had he recovered the money, but he had married Sarah, who was near the gate of Nineveh at that very moment. I started walking toward the city gate, still celebrating and praising God, but those who saw me hurrying along were amazed that no one was leading me. So I told everyone that God had been merciful and had healed my eyes. And when I saw Sarah, I gave her my blessing and said, 'My daughter, we welcome you into our family. I praise God for bringing you to us, and I ask him to bless your parents and my son and you. Our home is your home, and I pray God will bless you with health and happiness in this place. Welcome.' On that same day, every Jew in Nineveh joined in the celebration. And my nephews, Ahikar and Nadab, also came to celebrate with us. The angel Raphael's advice. Tobit speaks. Chapter 12. After the wedding celebration, I called in Tobias and said, "My son, it's time to pay the man who went with you, and he deserves a bonus." Tobias answered, "How much should I give him? We could give him half of what I brought back, and we would still have plenty for ourselves. After all, he got me back home safely, he healed my wife, he brought back the silver coins to you, and he healed you. So how much should I give him as a bonus? My son, I replied, he deserves to get half of everything he brought back. Tobias called in Raphael and said, You have earned half of everything you brought back, and now it's time for us to say goodbye. Then Raphael spoke to Tobias and me in private and said, Be sure to praise and honor God by telling everyone the good things he has done for you. Celebrate God's name with praises and with songs, and don't ever hesitate to tell others about him. Don't tell anyone the secrets of a king, but honor God by letting others know what he has done for you. If you do what is right, nothing bad will happen to you. It is good to pray sincerely, and it is better to be honest and generous to the poor than to be wealthy but dishonest. You are better off giving to the poor than getting lots of gold, because giving to the poor saves you from death and washes away every sin. People who are generous to the poor will have a full life, but people who sin and are dishonest are actually harming themselves. Raphael tells Tobit and Tobias who he is. Raphael said to Tobias and me, Now I will tell you the whole truth about everything that has happened. In fact, I have already hinted at it when I said, Don't tell anyone the secrets of a king, but honor God by letting others know what he has done for you. Tobit, when you and Sarah prayed, I was the one who presented your prayers to the glorious God. And when you buried the dead, I told God what you had done. When you left the banquet to bury that man who had been murdered, God sent me to test you, and he also sent me to heal you, and to help your daughter-in-law Sarah. I am Raphael, one of the seven angels who stand in the presence of the glorious God. Tobias and I were so terribly frightened that we fell face down. But Raphael said, Don't worry. Just remember to always praise God. Don't give me the credit. It was God who did all of this. That's why you must sing praises to God every day. When you thought you saw me eating and drinking, it only seemed that way. So praise God and thank him for as long as you live. Now I will return to the one who sent me, and I command you to write down everything that has happened to you. Then Raphael went up into heaven. Tobias and I stood up, but we could no longer see Raphael. Then we began singing praises to God because of the great things he had done, especially for sending the angel to us. Tobit praises God. Chapter 13. I said, I will praise the eternal God who rules forever. God punishes and shows mercy. He can send people down to the world of the dead, or rescue them from great destruction. No one can escape his power. People of Israel, God scattered you among the nations, so tell them about him. He has shown you his greatness, and while everyone listens, you should praise him, because he will forever be our Lord and God and Father. He will punish you if you sin, but then he will have mercy and gather you from the nations where you are scattered. If you turn to God with all your heart and are faithful to him, he will turn to you once again. No longer will he refuse to help you. Shout praises to him because he has been so kind and faithful to you, and he will rule as king forever. I must live far from my country, but I will still praise God and tell this nation of sinners how great and powerful he is. I will say, Turn from your sins and obey God. Who knows, maybe God will be kind and have mercy on you. I will praise my God, the King of heaven, and celebrate his greatness. Praise him, people of Jerusalem. God will punish your holy city because you have sinned, but if you obey him, he will again be kind to you. The Lord is good, so praise him and honor his kingdom. Then he will again allow you to set up his sacred tent and celebrate there. He will cheer up your exiles and always show his love to those who are suffering. Jerusalem, you will give light to the whole world, and people will come to you from faraway nations, bringing gifts for your holy God, the King of heaven. One generation after another will celebrate in you the city God has chosen. God will put a curse on those who insult you, and on those who capture you and tear down your walls, destroy your towers, and burn your homes. But he will bless anyone who shows respect for you. Celebrate, because the Lord will gather together those who are faithful to him, and he will bless them for all time. He will bless those who love you, Jerusalem, those who are happy when you have peace, and who are sad when you have trouble. They will celebrate with you and see your joy forever. I praise the Lord, the great King, because Jerusalem, you will be rebuilt, and you will be his home for all time. I will be glad if one of my descendants can see your glory and praise the King of heaven. Your gates will be made of sapphires and emeralds, and your walls will be covered with other jewels. Your towers will be of gold all the way to the top. The streets within you will be paved with rubies and jewels from Ophir. Your gates will sing with joy, and your houses will shout, "Praise the Lord! Praise the God of Israel!" And God's people will praise his holy name forever. Chapter 14. That is how I ended my song of praise. Tobit's last words. Tobit died peacefully at the age of 112, and was honored at his burial in Nineveh. He was 62 when he became blind, and after his sight was restored, he was once again wealthy and generous to the poor. He was always praising God and telling others about God's power. Just before Tobit died, he called in his son and said, "Tobias, take your children and go to Media." I believe what God said when he told the prophet Nahum what will happen to Nineveh and Assyria. And time after time, God gave messages to other prophets in Israel, telling them what will happen. Every message they spoke will come true at the right time. You will be safe in Media, but not here in Assyria or in Babylonia. Our relatives, the people of Israel, will be taken from that good land and scattered in other countries. The whole land of Israel, including the cities of Samaria and Jerusalem, will be deserted. Even God's temple will suffer and lie in ashes for a while. Then God will have mercy on Israel again, and he will return them to their own land. They will rebuild the temple, but it won't be as glorious a building until the time that all of God's promises come true. And when that happens, God will bring Israel back from their exile, and they will rebuild Jerusalem into a truly glorious city. God's temple will also be rebuilt there, just as the prophets have said. All the Gentiles on earth will stop worshipping idols, because idols only deceive people and lead them away from the truth. The Gentiles will then turn to God and worship only him. They will praise and obey the eternal God. God will protect those Israelites who are truly loyal to him, and at that time he will gather them together and bring them back to Jerusalem. God will give them the land he once gave to Abraham, and they will live in safety there forever. Now, my son and my grandchildren, I give you these commands. Worship and obey the Lord. Be faithful and do what pleases him. Tell your own children to do right and to be generous to the poor. Always think about God, and don't just pretend to praise God. Praise him with all your strength. My son, you must leave Nineveh on the same day your mother dies, and you bury her beside me. Don't even spend that night here. Nineveh is a very evil place, and its people aren't even ashamed that they are so dishonest. Just look at what Nadab did. He tried to kill Ahikar, who had raised him. Ahikar had to hide in a tomb to escape the deadly trap Nadab had set. Ahikar lived to see the light of day, because he had given so generously to poor people. But God punished Nadab for his treachery. Nadab was killed in his own trap and went down into the place of eternal darkness. So, my children, you can see that God will protect you if you give to the poor. But when you do what is evil, you will be killed. And now, my life is slipping away. They helped Tobit lie down on his bed, and when he died, they buried him with honor. Tobias moves to Media. Sometime later, Tobias's mother Anna died, and he buried her beside his father. Then Tobias and his wife Sarah moved to the city of Ecbatana in Media, where he lived with his father-in-law Reguel and his mother-in-law Edna. He treated them with great respect and took care of them until they died. Then he buried them. Tobias inherited all of Reguel's property in addition to what had belonged to his own father Tobit. Everyone respected Tobias, and he died at the age of 117. But he lived long enough to hear that Nineveh had been destroyed, and to see its people being led as prisoners into Media by Cyaxares, the king of Media. And from that time until the day Tobias died, he offered joyful praises to God for what he had done to Nineveh and Assyria.
This ends Tobit, narrated by John McDonough. And now, Judith, narrated by Barbara Rosenblatt.
Judith. About this book. This book tells how a beautiful Israelite woman named Judith rescued Israel from the attack of Holofernes, a powerful general of the Assyrian army. Judith was a widow who faithfully worshipped God and completely obeyed the law of Moses. Judith lived in Bethulia, a town guarding a mountain pass on the road to Jerusalem. Holofernes had cut off Bethulia from its water supply so he could capture the town and move his army through the pass. But Judith prayed for God's help, then tricked Holofernes and killed him. The next day, the people of Israel attacked and defeated the Assyrian army. Judith saved Israel because she had courage and obeyed God. Nebuchadnezzar defeats Arphaxad. Chapter 1. During the years that King Nebuchadnezzar ruled Assyria from the capital city of Nineveh, King Arphaxad ruled over Media province from his capital city of Ecbatana. In the 12th year of Nebuchadnezzar's rule, Arphaxad began fortifying Ecbatana by building a wall around it that was over 100 feet high and 75 feet thick. The wall was made out of cut stones, each one of them 4.5 feet wide and 9 feet long. Beside each gate into the city, he built a tower 150 feet tall, with a base that was 90 feet wide. Each gate had an opening 105 feet high and 60 feet wide, big enough for his powerful army to march out in rows on its way into battle. In that same year, Nebuchadnezzar went to war against Arphaxad in the large valley near the city of Ragaw. Many other nations sent their armies to help Nebuchadnezzar fight Arphaxad, including those from the mountains south of Ecbatana, those living along the Euphrates, the Tigris, and the Hydaspes rivers, as well as those from the valley ruled by King Arioch of Elam. This large and powerful army went with Nebuchadnezzar into battle against Arphaxad. Nebuchadnezzar sent messengers to ask the people of nearby regions and cities to join him in this battle. His messengers went to the Persians and to regions west of Assyria, including Cilicia, Damascus, Lebanon, and Anti-Lebanon. They also went to the people who lived along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and to those living in the regions of Carmel, Gilead, northern Galilee, and Jezreel Valley. Nebuchadnezzar even asked the people from the city of Samaria and its nearby towns, as well as those from Jerusalem, Bethany, Kellis, Kadesh, and those living as far west as the Nile River. His messengers went all the way to the Egyptian region of Goshen, including the cities of Tapanhes, Raamses, Tanis, and Memphis, until they reached the border of Ethiopia. But all of these people ignored Nebuchadnezzar's message and refused to be his allies in his battle against Arphaxad. None of them thought Nebuchadnezzar was someone to fear, and so they sent his messengers back, empty-handed and embarrassed. Nebuchadnezzar was so angry that he swore he would give up his entire kingdom if he did not kill everyone who had refused to help him. All the people of Cilicia, Damascus, Syria, Moab, Ammon, Judea, and Egypt, as far as the coasts of the two seas. In the 17th year of his rule, Nebuchadnezzar led his army into battle against Arphaxad. It was a complete victory for Nebuchadnezzar. He defeated all of Arphaxad's troops, including his entire cavalry and all his chariots. After Nebuchadnezzar had captured every town in Media, he attacked the capital city of Ecbatana. He destroyed its guard towers,